So the message today is part two of our Welcome Home series. We had started a couple weeks ago before we went away with a Welcome Home series. And coming out of a summer where people kind of take a break sometimes, you know, in the summer, people a lot of vacations, people kind of take a break from getting together and the regular things, meeting in worship on Sunday morning. And I really felt like we had to kind of come back together and focus on the call that we have here as the church here in Sanctuary. And if you ever visit our Sanctuary webpage, there's three things that we talk about. Is to encounter God, to encourage one another, and to empower us to go out and be the hands and feet of Christ. And there's different language attached to those things, but those are the three things that we're called to do. And it's very biblical, those things that we talk about. So the first thing that we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago was to encounter God, that we come here on Sunday morning so that we can encounter the living God, that we are here to worship God because God is worthy of our worship. And that we're here to encourage one another. We gather together to encourage one another. And so let me pray first for the word, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, that you do encourage us as we gather together, as we put you first, God, that there's so much more that is gained, the blessings that come. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that we learn not only to be blessed by our obedience and the things of God, but to be a blessing, to be an encourager, God. And we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the second one, like I said, is to encourage. And part of our message a couple of weeks ago, I gave a scripture from Hebrews, and I'll share that in a bit, because part of our worship together and gathering on Sunday mornings is to encourage one another, that iron sharpens iron, and as we gather on Sunday morning, the body is complete. You know, when people are missing on Sunday morning, then something's missing. The gifts that they have and the things that they have to bring are missing, and that the body is not quite healthy. So, in the fall of a year, Linda, a young woman, was traveling alone up the rutted and rugged highway from Alberta to the Yukon, not too far from where I just was. Linda didn't know you don't travel the white horse alone in a rundown Honda Civic. So she set off where only four-wheel drives normally venture. The first evening, she found a room in the mountains near a summit and asked for a 5 a.m. wake-up call so she could get an early start. She couldn't understand why the clerk looked so surprised at that request, but as she awoke to an early morning fog shrouding the mountaintops of where she had to go, she understood. So not wanting to look foolish, she got up and went to breakfast. And two truckers were there and invited Linda to join them. And since the place was so small, she felt obliged. "Where are you headed?" one of the truckers asked. "White horse." "In that little Civic? No way. This pass is dangerous in weather like this." "Well, I'm determined to try," was Linda's response. It was gutsy, if not very informed. "Then I guess we're just going to have to hug you," the trucker had suggested. And Linda drew back. "There's no way I'm going to let you touch me." And the trucker says, "Not like that. We'll put one truck in front of you and one in the rear. And in that way, we'll get you through the mountains." And all that foggy morning, Linda followed the two red dots in front of her and had the reassurance of the other big trucker behind as they made their way safely through the mountains. In the same way, sometimes our life can be a foggy passage, and we need Christians that have been before us to be ahead of us and to be shored up by others, gently encouraging us along so we can pass safely, right, through this journey that we have in Christ. So, I don't know, does anybody here need any encouragement? Ever? Well, where are we supposed to get that? Well, going back to what's on the webpage, encourage. We strive to encourage each other as we meet together in small groups and to share our journeys with Christ. And we strive to encourage each other to discover and develop our own unique gifts. So Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25 says this, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Now, that's a passage I shared a couple of weeks ago. So we are not to give up meeting together so that we can truly encourage one another. Why we gather on Sunday morning is more than just a futile exercise. It's what we have to offer to one another. Right? Can we think of ways where we can encourage one another? Maybe you need encouragement this week, but the next week, somebody else might need the encouragement that you have to offer. It's a give and a take. We are to gather in order to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Our gathering on Sunday has a greater effect than just that hour or so that we gather. It should bleed out into the rest of the week if we're taking our jobs of encouragers seriously. So we gather more than just to, you know, see one another. Yes, that's true, and we fellowship and we gather and we share wonderful snacks that Sherry brought this morning. But at the same time, we're here to encourage one another, right? As we share around the table, maybe we step aside and say to a sister or brother, look, I'm going through something. Could you pray with me? Can I talk to you about something? There's so much that we have walked through individually that we can share with one another if we're willing to. So my question was, do you want to be an Acts 2 church? Yes, right? I go, well then, Pastor Debbie, what's an Acts 2 church? Maybe you don't know what that means. And basically, it's to go back to the early church, right? Learn what they did and then duplicate it, right? If we read the second chapter of the book of Acts, it shows how the Holy Spirit came in power and amazing things happened, right? If 3,000 people can be saved in one day, I'd like to witness that. Right? If they were performing miracles in their midst, I want to see that. If the gospel was going forth in power and might, I want to witness that too. And so we must look at what they did and follow that pattern. Because maybe we think, and I think oftentimes this happens nowadays, we have to recreate the wheel somehow. We have to make it more attractive. We have to make it more entertaining. We have to do something to add to the gospel. And I would say what they did 2,000 years ago is enough. If it was enough to have 3,000 people get saved with one sermon, it's enough for us today. We don't have to keep adding more and more and more. And serving, in a way, we serve the flesh of the people that are coming to be there. And we need to go back to what the early church was doing. So let's look at a passage from the second chapter of Acts that makes it clear the pattern to follow. So this is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And it says this is the New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Okay, so I'm going to read that verse again. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, sharing meals, and prayer. And goes on in verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. So that's it. Seems simple, doesn't it? So let's look at what they did. Because if we want to be an Acts 2 church, we have to focus on what they did and do what they did. Number one, it devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, what is that, the apostles' teaching? Well, they didn't create a new message, the apostles, right? They continued the message that Jesus taught, right? They were discipled for 3 years, continued that message, but with a bonus, right? That's Christ and him crucified. It's as powerful today as it was then, that Christ came to dwell with us, became sin for us, and that by grace we can receive salvation. That's powerful stuff. So let us be devoted to the message and not get distracted by any other, right? People try to pull us off message by engaging in sideline arguments, things that don't really mean anything. Has that ever happened to you? You know, if you focus on the gospel truth of Christ, him crucified, resurrected from the dead, and what that means, salvation by grace. We're saved by grace. Too often we get caught up in these arguments about whether or not, you know, I don't know, I can think of anything, whether or not we should drink alcohol, whether or not we should get tattoos, whether or not we should, I don't know, dress in skirts, wear jewelry, cut our hair. There could be anything that could get in the way of what the reality is, and that's a distraction. That's what the enemy uses to pull us off message. The message is Christ crucified, saved by grace, not by works, so that none should boast. That's it. It's simple, and we make it complicated. So we want to devote ourselves to the simple word of God. Make sure you know your Bible. Begin, if you've never really read the Bible, begin with the Gospel of Mark. Simple, short, know it. And then you know, right? You'll be able to give a reason for what you believe. Okay. Number two, fellowship. First, you might ask, because I love this word, fellowship. 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 When do you actually hear that word outside of being in church? We're going to have some fellowship. Right? I mean, I think it's kind of a churchy word. Let's take a look at what it means, okay? Friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests, as in they valued fun and good fellowship as the cement of the community. How about some synonyms? Companionship, companionability, sociability, comradeship, camaraderie, friendship, mutual support, togetherness, solidarity, informal chumminess. That was actually definition. So a community bound together in fellowship. So that's what fellowship means. We don't often use it outside of church, but that friendship, sharing in something in kind, supporting one another, encouraging one another. The early church, they devoted themselves to it. So again, if we're devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to fellowship, devoted means given over to the display, study, discussion of, loyal. They were given over to it. It was just part of who they were. It wasn't a distraction. It wasn't a sideline. They were completely devoted, solid, committed. It was important. They desperately needed each other. If you go back and you look at the early church, they were up against it. They needed each other. And how much more do we need each other now, right? We are living in a time where there's a lot of negativity, a lot of struggle against Christian values, Christian faith. We need each other. It's not always easy to live a Christian life, and so we need people to come around us. We need that encouragement. If anybody's ever been outside a church for any length of time, if you fell away for a while or you just kind of didn't find a church home for a while, can you speak to the fact that you need a church to come around you and that encouragement, right? We need each other. They need each other, and we do too. So I want to jump down to verse 46 again, where it says they worship together at the temple each day. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about worshiping together on Sunday morning and that it wasn't too much to ask necessarily to meet for an hour and a half once a week, right? They met at the temple every day. They met at the temple courts. And then it says they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So part of fellowship, obviously, is going to be Sunday mornings, right? We fellowship together on Sunday mornings to share the worship of God together, something that we share together. But we also make available here small groups, all right, that we meet in homes or the Fitchburg Library or, you know, the office. But we make it an available time for us to meet together in small groups so that we can get to know one another. It is part of discipleship, all right? So if we go back to... This is in my notes. But if we go back to the Great Commission, right, to go, right, and make disciples, if we are following after what Christ wants us to do, we need to make disciples. And yes, discipleship happens on Sunday morning. As I share God's word or anybody of the other people that we've invited in here to share, that's discipleship. And we also learn and we grow by serving. We learn and we grow from talking to one another. But we have to be intentional. Can you tell them? Intentional about being discipled. And so we can't look at the small group situation and go, well, I'm kind of busy. I don't have another night available. Getting involved in a small group is instrumental in being discipled. because it's more than just receiving the word on Sunday morning, but that as you gather together, it's an in-depth study. It allows you to have the opportunity to meet and focus on one thing so that you can really grow in one area. And so I really encourage you to be a part of a small group. It is, you know, we only do them in the fall and we do them in the spring again. And this is your opportunity, right? If we don't do it again until the spring, this is it. So we want to be part of a group, right? Right, okay, awesome. All right, and we share meals. At small group, we have snack, right? So by being part of a small group, we are following the Acts 2 model. We meet in the temple courts. We meet here on Sunday mornings, but we also meet in small groups, and we share meals, snacks, together. It's important because we want to mirror the behavior of the early church, but because it's an important part of discipleship. Small groups, serving in our community, meeting for leadership training, that's another thing. We do those catalyst meetings on Saturday mornings. That's a great way to be discipled. It is challenging. The reason why I do those on Saturday mornings is because I like to be challenged. All right? So I offer that up to everybody else because those messages will rock your world. I'm telling you, catalyst meetings on those 8:30 mornings, on those, I do them one Saturday a month. That stuff is really good. It's solid, solid stuff, and it's a challenge. It'll challenge you in your faith walk. All right, so we do those things, and it helps us in our ability to be discipled and to encourage one another and to grow in our faith. The third part of what they did is they met together not only to share meals, but to share the Lord's Supper, right? Because that is a command of the Lord. Did you know that sharing around communion table is not optional? Where else are you going to be able to share communion than to come to church? Right? There's two ordinances in the church. There's sacraments if you come from the Catholic background, but if you come from a Protestant background, there's two ordinances. One is the Lord's table. And what's the other one? Anyone? Baptism. That's it, right? So we make available baptism here about four times a year for new believers or those that have never been water baptized. And the other one is the Lord's table that we do about once a month here. And so we have to make sure that we're part of a church body so that we're able to do as God has instructed us, right? We want to be that Acts 2 church. We want to be able to meet around the Lord's table, which we'll be able to do today. And number four, finally, fellowship takes the form of prayer for one another. It states that they were devoted to prayer. Remember, devoted, turned over, completely committed. Are you committed to prayer? And maybe you think that prayer is a private issue that you do at home, and you'd be correct, right? We should be praying at home. We should be privately praying and interceding for one another and for our families and for the things that are going on in our lives. But the same thing is that we need to pray one for the other. It's important to do that. You know, one of the things that we learned yesterday, we listened to a speech from Tim Keller from Catalyst. And he was talking about prayer. It was at the very end of his talk, and he was talking about the things that we have to do and the things that we have to understand. And one of the things that we have to do is prayer. And he said, if you knew that you had a fatal disease, and if somebody said that you had to take this one small pill at 11 o'clock at night, every night, and you would live, wouldn't you take that pill? You'd never forget that pill. Well, prayer is just as important, if not more so. Because our earthly bodies are going to die. We all know that, right? It's just a matter of time. You know, our days are numbered. God already knows that. But we have an eternal soul. And prayer is that developing that relationship so it has eternal consequences. Prayer takes the form of fellowship as well. So I want to give you a scripture from James, the letter of James. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So it says, confess your sins to each other. We need to develop relationships so we have trust. And where else are we going to do that again? Small groups, okay? It's hard to become intimate with people in a Sunday morning. You all are kind of looking this way, right? You're not looking one to the other. You're not really understanding where everybody's coming from. In a small group, you might begin to develop relationships. And maybe not in the small group you're going to go, well, I'm going to share everything that's going on in my life in this small group. You might not, but you might find that one person in your group that you go, you know what? I could really build a relationship with this person. We have a lot in common. I want to share some time. Hey, would you grab some coffee? And then you have an opportunity to develop a relationship, develop trust so that you can begin to confess your sins one to the other. Do you know when I met yesterday at my Catalyst meeting? I had to confess something that I've been struggling with. And it felt awesome that I had, you know what? I'm not above having things to confess. Amen? Okay? Just because I have the title Reverend does not mean that we don't deal with stuff. And so it gave me the opportunity in that small environment to confess I'm dealing with this thing. So we were able to pray together. So small groups, praying one to the other, because you know what? We come with burdens, right? Wouldn't it be nice to know that you can come and trust somebody enough to ask them to lift you up in prayer? Oftentimes we're very comfortable saying, you know, I'm having a physical issue, I need prayer for that. But it's different when you're dealing with something that's a sin issue. We need prayer for that. We need, because we can't just buckle down and get over sin, right? I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to get over it. We need people to come around us and pray for us. And we need to get in a position where we can actually confess and trust so that people can pray for us and believe God for healing. When it says that you will be healed, it's more than just physical healing. It's spiritual. It's emotional. It's sin. We need to be delivered from the sin in our lives. I know, I'm the only one that has it, right? Without fellowship, who are we going to go to for prayer when we need to? We need to practice that discipline of confession. Sometimes we need us to keep us or help us be accountable. I don't know, maybe you're struggling with something this morning. We want to bring it to a group in prayer. You can always bring it to me in prayer, you know that. But sometimes we just want friends. We need friends. We need fellowship. And one of the beautiful things about the groups is that the rules are that there's nothing that happens in the group goes outside the group, right? It's like that commercial for Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So whatever happens in your groups stays in your groups. Nobody wants to know your stuff, right? We need to have the ability to trust one another. That's the foundation of everything. That fellowship, the encouragement that we need, that's where you're going to find in Christian fellowship. And yes, we have it. You can find it in other places as well. You can find it, you can join a club and get fellowship. But true, intimate, safe fellowship should be in the church, first and foremost. You know what? I know people have been hurt in the church. I know it happens. And that's the shame. The church should be the most safe place for people to be always. And I hope that that's what we're growing here and developing here, is a place that is completely safe. A place where people can express their desire to grow in the faith, to have questions and not worry about whether or not the questions can be answered, or that people are going to judge them when they come in the door, or whether or not they're going to be judged for the questions that they have. That's not our place. We're here to make available the things of God and to share in the journey together. Amen? And so I want to invite you. We're going to share the meal around the Lord's table this morning. And then we're going to sing a hymn. Because in Corinthians, it talks about what it's like to actually meet as the church. And we're going to talk about that next time when we use our gifts. Everybody has gifts. And part of those is spiritual gifts. It says one brings a psalm, the other one brings a hymn, the other one a tongue, the other one the interpretation. So today we're going to sing a hymn together. We don't do a whole lot of hymns here, but this one's a beautiful hymn called Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. But let's share around the table first. So if you're willing this morning, because we are scattered, and I think we have enough people to gather around the table as one. You willing? All right, well, I invite you to the Lord's table this morning. Come on up. And if you're a guest here this morning, we practice an open table, which means that everybody's welcome.